I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of St. Mark. St. Mark chapter 2. Please keep your Bibles open during the course of this message, because I'm going to somewhat use this as a springboard, a companion passage for going into the Old Testament. So please keep your Bibles open. And we're going to read just a few verses here in the latter part of chapter 2, St. Mark chapter 2 and verse 23. Praise God. If you'd like to read or stand for the reading of God's Word, feel free to do so. If you found St. Mark's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 23, would you say amen? And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the shewbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You may be seated. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Let me say that I'm not here tonight to preach on the Sabbath, but it is a good opportunity for me just to take a moment here, I mean while I'm already here, and just say to us that when the dispensation of grace came, God did not do away with the Sabbath day. There is a lot of people that feels like that the Sabbath day is just another day. But let me say unto us tonight that 6 days God gave a man to labor, but on the seventh day a man ought to rest. Amen? And I am of the persuasion that God did not do away with just one of the Ten Commandments and keep the other nine. Amen? I still believe that the Sabbath is a special day that is set aside not only for the bodily rest of mankind, but for the spiritual renewal of all mankind. Amen? And you find that, you don't have to go to Mount Sinai to find that. You can go all the way back to creation and find out that after that God made everything, the Bible said that God rested upon the Sabbath. And He hallowed the Sabbath day because that in it He had rested. The Sabbath day being a holy day, separated and consecrated unto the Lord, is not something that Moses found on Sinai. It was something God set in order way back in Genesis in the creation of time. It's a creation law. Amen? And we've got a lot of church folks that think they can hook to the boat and go fishing on Sunday. It's a day to paint the house and cut the grass. But I've got news for you. God gave you 6 days to cut the grass. God gave you 6 days to paint the house. God gave you 6 days to go shopping. The Sabbath day is a day of rest. It is holy and separated and consecrated unto the Lord. And we ought to honor it and recognize it and give unto God that He demands of us. Well, glory to God. That isn't a good way to start a revival off, but it's the truth, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I, I believe we ought to keep the Sabbath day holy. And you won't just find that in a few places. You'll find it all the way through God's Word, right on even through the New Testament. I read there in Luke's Gospel where the Bible said, and Jesus entered the Sabbath day as it was His custom. Jesus went to church on Sunday. And I think if Jesus went to church on Sunday, that's where we need to be. Well, glory to God. I reckon if I've already let the air out of our balloons, so to speak, tonight, I better change directions just a little bit here. I told you while I was here, I better just go ahead and brush up against it. But nevertheless, that's not really what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. But I do think that's very important, what I just spoke about right there. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. But notice here, the thing that I really want to speak about or iterate here tonight, the Bible said, Jesus, addressing the Pharisees, in verse 25, Jesus said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need? Have you never read what David did when he had need? A need. Amen. I don't know about you in this place tonight, but there's many times in this life, in this journey, in this walk, I find myself having needs from the Lord. Amen. And the Scripture, Jesus did not say, remember what King Saul did when he had a need. When King Saul was in Mount Gilboa and he had rebelled against the command of God, he had a need, but he fell on his own sword. Demas, when he had forsaken the Apostle Paul, Jesus did not refer to him here. I mean, Judas, when he went out that dark night after he had slung that gold or that silver down in the temple and he had betrayed his Lord and Savior, Jesus did not make mention of what Judas did that night that he had a need, but he did call our attention to David, the great king of the Old Testament, and he said, don't you remember what David did when he had a need? Every one of us in this place tonight, from time to time, we have needs in our lives. But the most important thing we need to realize is what we do when we have a need. Oh, when problems come, when troubles come in our lives, they will do one of two things. They will either push us farther away from God, or they'll either push us closer into His arms. And that's left up to you and I. It's according to what we do when we have a need. I'm sure that somebody in this place tonight has got a need. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to go out of that door the way you came, but you can leave changed by the power of God. But you gotta do what David did when he had a need. Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Every decision that we make in life is important. Some of the small decisions that we make are important. But when a person gets down, when a person really gets in trouble, when the devil has got that person in the corner, and he's got them by the throat, so to speak, the decision that you make, what you do at that point, is most important. It is very crucial. The decisions that we make in life are very important. And what we need to do is we need to do what David did when he had a need. I thought about this afternoon, you was talking about that young child that they buried. There was another funeral that took place back home, my hometown. One of my second cousins got involved, got to running with the wrong crowd. His mom and dad didn't raise him in church, left him to run the streets. Mom and dad on drugs and alcohol. That young boy grew up in that environment. And this afternoon, they had his funeral. 27 years old. He got involved with the wrong stuff. He got involved with the wrong crowd. And he left a suicide note up under his pillow day before yesterday, before he took those pills and he went to sleep to wake up in an eternal home somewhere on the other side. I got all ideas where he went, but my point is this. He made the wrong choice. Before that boy ever popped the lid on that pill bottle, that boy was in trouble. That boy needed help. That boy was down. That boy had a need in his life. And what he did, he made the wrong turn. He made the wrong choice. He looked to the wrong places for his answer. And I'm telling you, you might be in this place tonight and you're in trouble. The devil's got a solution for you. But I tell you, the King of Glory, he's got a solution. Hallelujah! And I'm here to tell you, we need to do what David did when he had a need. Glory to God. Amen. You got to turn in your Bibles with me now. I told you to keep your Bibles open. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 21. Amen. I don't know if the brother can give me a little more volume up here. I kind of feel my clutch trying to slip a little bit on me. I don't want to blast you out the pews. You govern the house. Just try to give me a little more monitor if you can, brother. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 21. I'm gonna try to just kind of skip through this chapter, but this is the scripture that Jesus is making reference to some thousand years later. This is what Jesus was talking about. And to somewhat bring you up to par or up to what is going on here, King Saul is trying to take the life of David. You remember he cast a javelin at him. Tried to pin him to the wall. You remember Jonathan, David's friend, went out in the edge of the field and he shot the arrow and he sent that servant. And Jonathan's cry was, "The arrow is beyond thee." In other words, David, you can't come home. David, my dad is trying to kill you. David, it's not safe. You no longer can stay in the city of the Lord. You've got to run for your life. David would pen these words, and he said, "There is but a step between me and death." In other words, Saul was on his trail, and those mighty men were trying to take his life. David now is a man without a country. David now is a man running for his life. He has a bounty on his head. David is wanted dead or alive. And here he is running through the wilderness. Here he is with just but a step between him and death. David, he's on the run. He's a man fleeing for his life. And this is where the story picks up. And the Bible said, Jesus made reference, said, "How, and didn't you ever read how David entered into the house of the Lord?" 1 Samuel verse 21, this is what Jesus is quoting. "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest." Nob was where the house of the Lord was. Let me tell you this tonight. If you have a need in your life, you're in the right place tonight. There's no greater place to go when you got a need than to the house of the Lord. Have you ever noticed when you get to struggling? Have you ever noticed when you get down and you get hurt and the devil perches up on your shoulder and somebody's done you wrong? Somebody has scandalized your name. The devil has beat and battered against you. Have you ever noticed one of the first things that the devil will tell you? "Why don't you just stay home? I wouldn't go to church." You know why that is? Because the devil's got enough sense to know there's help in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Amen. There's help in the house of the Lord. I know that this is just sheetrock walls. I know that this is just a building like any other place. I know that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of the Lord. But there's something about coming together in the house of the Lord. David said, I'm like a green tree in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's something about the house of the Lord that you can get help when you have a need, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. There was a lot of places that David could have went. David knew a lot of people on those hillsides. David had some friends in high places and had some friends in low places. He had some friends on the far plains. David was well known and well liked. But you notice, even though David could have got bread at a lot of different places, David said, I want to go to the house of the Lord. that's where I want to go. Jesus said, the first thing David did when he had a need, he made his way to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah to God. David knew the same thing that prodigal did. Sister Judy, when that prodigal was standing in that mud hole, and he looked down into that mud hole and seen the reflection of himself, and he realized just how far sin had carried him. That prodigal came to himself and he made this statement. He had this testimony. In my father's house, there is bread to spare. Hallelujah! David knew that if he could just get to the house of the Lord, they would have there just what he needed. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A lot of people says, preacher, I can be spiritual when I'm at Walmart. I've known a few ladies that get spiritual going to Walmart. Amen. Oh, God. Preacher, I can be just as spiritual riding down the road. I've had God to move upon me riding down the road in my vehicle. I never forget, I was seeking the Holy Ghost, Brother Prescott, and I was riding down the road. I was going to fill a Gatorade cooler off a job, man. We was on a concrete job, man. Them boys was hot and sweaty. We'd run out of Gatorade, and I was riding down there having my mind on the job. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, whether we was going to be able to finish that thing or whatever, riding down the road, man, just out of nowhere. I mean, the Spirit of God come down in that truck and just spoke to me just as plain. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'd got discouraged. I'm telling the truth. I didn't have my mind on the Lord, man. God shook me in that truck. It wasn't just a little while after that. God came down in a little country church, filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God can speak to you riding down the road. God can save you in the backyard. I understand all that. God, you can feel God at Walmart. You can feel God on the job. But there's something special about the house of God when the brothers and sisters lay their hands on you and you feel the man, they ain't nowhere. I never felt the Spirit of God like I have in the house of the Lord. Glory to God. Praise. The first thing David did when he had a need, he came to the house of the Lord. The house of God is more than just a place to run to when you're in trouble. But when you're in trouble, that's definitely where you want to run to. I said the house of God is more than just a place you ought to run to every time you get in trouble. It ought to be a place that you come to consistently. But when you get in trouble, there's no better place to come to than the house of God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, just let me tell you, I hope I'm not too long-winded here tonight. I'm going to obey the Lord if God will help me here tonight. I remember, Brother Prescott, I hadn't been saved too awful long. I was fighting the devil, man. I'd been saved, 5-6 months, man. I was in the heat of the battle, man. I was fighting. The devil was trying to discourage me. And I remember thinking, man, I just don't even want to go to church. And I don't know, just something made me go that one more time. I said, I'm going to go one more time. Man, in that service that night. Man, I tell you, God used Brother Neil Bridges that night in that service. I don't know if you ever heard him preach that message. It's just a freckle. But I was in that place that night. He preached, it's just a freckle. I was in that sanctuary. Man, God, come down on this old boy. Man, that song I sang, he walked me to, man, I didn't even feel like I had to walk. Man, the Holy Ghost, it had my feet. God put me on that surgical table and he helped me. You know why? Because I came to the house of God when I had a need. Glory to God. Woo! I came to the right place when I had a need. That's what David did when he had a need. Notice the next thing David did. Verse 3. Now therefore, David is talking to Ahimelech, the high priest. David and those men, they're hungry, they're worn, they're tired. David says unto the high priest, the type of Christ, now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand. You know what David is doing? David is making his request known unto the Lord. You know, the Scripture tells us that the Lord knows what we have need of even before we ask. He knows all about us. He knows all about the situation and the circumstances. But it is the will of God that we make our requests known unto Him. He knows what you've been going through. He knows right where you are. But He wants you to do like David and say, what I need is 5 loaves of bread. Are you in the right place? David didn't just come in the sanctuary and sit down. He let that high priest know, I came here because I need bread. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I tell you what we've got to do. We've got to throw our heads back, lift our hands up toward God and say, God, I have a need. Tonight, I need help from the Lord. I tell you, if you make your request known unto God, if He had to bankrupt heaven, He'd bankrupt heaven to supply your every need tonight. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Yes, He would. That's just how good our God is. Yeah. Notice, but when I read this, the thing that really got a hold to me here is not the fact that David made his request known unto the Lord. But I like that latter part there where he said, or what there is present. David said, what I really need is 5 loaves of bread. But if I can't have the 5 loaves, I'll take whatever you can give me. Hallelujah. I'll take it however you want to give it to me, Lord. How many of you know that God's ways are much higher than our ways? Sometimes God, He doesn't meet our needs the way we want Him to meet them. Sometimes God gives us just a little bit at a time. He might not bring us all the way up out the valley, but He'll take us up the mountain just a little ways. He'll bring us handfuls on purpose. Glory to God. He'll give us just a little bit and say, hey, if you'll come back again, I'll help you a little bit more. David said, I need 5 loaves, but if I can't have 5, I'll take 1, I'll take 2. Whatever you give me, Lord, I'll be content with however you want to help me. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm reminded of that little Syrophoenician woman there. who came to Jesus from Sire and Tyre, Tidon and Sire there. And the Bible said that she came to Him because her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And when she came to Him, she besought the Lord that He would heal her daughter. And the Bible said, and Jesus spoke not a word. He paid her no attention. He gave her the old silent treatment. Ever had somebody give you the silent treatment? Talking with somebody and they just ignore you? You're kind of like, hey man, talking to you. Somewhat rude for people to ignore somebody when they're talking. But Jesus wanted to know just how bad she wanted that blessing. And after that Jesus had ignored her, she went round, cut Him off at the pass again, kneeling down there in those dusty streets. She made her request known unto the Lord. Then those disciples, the church kicked in. And they said to that woman, leave Him alone. Get out of here. You're bothering the Master. I mean, all she's getting is bombardment with arrogance and hatefulness. Those disciples being crude unto her. But it did not deter her. I see where she finds her way around. Cuts Him off again. Casts herself into the path of Jesus again. And she makes her request known. And Jesus finally speaks to her. And He says to her, woman, He said, it is not meet for Me to give the children's bread unto dogs. In other words, you're the wrong color. You're of the wrong race. The healing that I have is only for the house of Israel. In other words, if you were a Jew, I would have already healed you. But you're a Gentile. I can't take the holy bread of healing and cast it to dogs. Boy, I'm telling you right there now. You know, if Jesus calls some of us dogs, man, that telephone would be smoking. I mean, smoking, honey. I mean, that sorry, no good. I mean, they'd have put it on Him. That's not what she did. You know why? Because she's wanting it however God's willing to give it. I said she is wanting it and willing to take it however God chooses to give it. You know, there's some people that want healing, but they want it their way. I mean, there's some people that want the Holy Ghost, but they want it their way. Man, I tell you what you got to do. You just got to throw the windows of your heart open and say, God, roll me in the floor. God, turn me inside out. However you want to give it to me, God, here I am. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Woo! Praise God. When Jesus said it's not meet for me or not right for me to give the children's bread to dogs, that Syrophoenician woman said, yes, Lord. She said, but the dogs, they eat of the crumbs which fall beneath the Master's table. In other words, what I originally came to you for, I wanted you to speak the word and heal my daughter. But if I got to get on my knees and get down up under the table and I can just pick up a little crumb of healing, that'll be all right. I came here for 5 loaves, but I'll take it however you can give it, God. Why? Because I got a need. I got a need. And I'm going the path David went. I'm making my request known. However you want to do it, God, I'll take it. Hallelujah. Praise God. David said, what I have need of is 5 loaves of bread, whatever there is present. However you want to give it to me, Lord, that's how I'll take it. Hallelujah. In other words, it's almost like a surrender. Here I am, God. This is what I have need of. I'm Yours, Lord. Help me if You will. Help me, God. I've got a need and here I am at Your feet, Lord. Praise God. First thing David did, he came to the house of the Lord. The second thing he did, He made his request known unto the Lord. Notice the third thing that David did is found in verse 6. The Bible said, "So the priest Ahimelech there gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the shoe bread." It was not right for David to eat of that holy shoe bread. But nevertheless, because of the circumstances, because of the desperate times that calls for desperate measures, David leaned upon the mercies of God. David did not go into that temple with his chest poked out. He did not go in there with a self-righteous attitude. He did not go in there like Uzziah with that attitude. "I'm just as good as a priest. I'm just as good as anybody else. If anybody else can eat it, I..." David didn't enter that way. David was a man after God's own heart. David knew how to humble himself in the sight of the Lord. But David, even though he was not arrogant, even though he was not prideful, he knew that the Lord loved mercy, and he leaned upon the mercies of God, even though he knew he didn't deserve it. He took of that shoe bread and he ate it, and God satisfied the longing in his heart. How many of you know there's none righteous? No, not one. It's only by the mercies of God that we lean upon his breast like John, and he satisfies our every need and our every longing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of that little girl. Her dad was on death row there. Was supposed to be executed. And that little girl, when she got close to Napoleon, who was walking through that great crowd, they said she ran to Napoleon and wrapped her arms around his legs. And when those soldiers started to pull her away, they said, Napoleon said, "No, let her speak." And that little girl, tears streaming down her face, she looked up at Napoleon and she said, "Sir, my dad is scheduled, destined to be executed." And Napoleon asked his name, and she told Napoleon her dad's name. And he said, "Honey," he said, "justice must be executed." And she said, "But sir," she said, "I'm not begging for justice." She said, "I'm begging for mercy." And when she did, Napoleon pardoned her dad. I tell you, if we'd got justice, we'd all be in hell tonight. But I'm glad we found the mercies of God. I'm glad that when we didn't deserve it, we ate of that holy showbread. We ate of that holy bread that brought salvation. Thank God for His mercies. They're new every morning. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. David did not lawfully deserve to eat of that shoe bread, but he knew that God was a merciful God. He reached into that dish and took that holy bread, he and his men, and they ate that holy bread. And I'm reminded many times, I maybe haven't been everything that I should have been. There's been times maybe I hadn't prayed like I should have prayed. There's been times that I hadn't witnessed like I should have witnessed, Brother Prescott. There's been times that I just, lack of a better word, I just failed God. And I've come into His presence and I've sit in the sanctuary. And I've felt unworthy. I've felt unholy. I've felt inadequate. But the Spirit of God get to move. And man, God just opened the windows of heaven. He poured out a blessing upon me. And I'd be sitting there, tears running down my face, my hands raising. I'm thinking, "God, I don't deserve this. I hadn't been too good to you lately." But God just pour out. You know why? Because God's merciful. Hey, God's wanting to help us even when we failed Him. God's wanting to let us eat of the holy shoe bread. He wants to see us make heaven our home. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. Amen. Vicki Conner, can you come to the piano tonight?
Amen. I'm getting ready to close. I hope it hasn't been too long here tonight. Aren't you glad that God, He's willing to show us mercy and open the windows of heaven, even when we don't deserve it? Glory to God. But also, aren't you glad that God always gives us more than what we ask for? He knows how to supply our needs according to His riches and glory. David went there looking for bread. The Lord satisfied that need. But not only that, God's not through with him yet. I want you to look here in verse 8. David's getting ready to leave. And the Bible said, and David said unto him, Ahimelech, is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? Verse 9, and the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. There ain't no other sword like that sword. Ain't never been another sword like it. Never will be. David said, give it me. Or give it here. God wasn't just going to let David leave out of there just having his physical needs met. God wanted to speak to David's heart. God, He'll satisfy our needs. I mean, David said, I was once young, I'm now old. Never seen the righteous forsaken. Seed begging bread. How many of you know God will satisfy and take care of our physical needs? I'm not here preaching health, wealth, and prosperity. But I mean, hey, if He feeds the sparrows, I mean, shine, He ought to feed us. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about bringing bread and to us and meet to us like Elijah if we're not willing to work now. I mean, I believe we ought to do what we can. Amen? I don't believe God honors laziness. I mean, I've known some preachers to think that after they got called to preach that a shovel wouldn't fit their hand anymore. Or a hammer. I mean, come on now. I mean, if Jesus, the King of Glory, I mean, if He was a carpenter and a hammer fit His hand, a hammer would fit yours too. Talk about, man, I'm living by faith. You living off the faithful. I mean, come on now. I mean, if you got a big enough church that can support you and everything, that's fine. But I mean, you know, if you ain't full time, you don't need to be living off grandmama and mom and daddy. Over to God. I don't know why I said that. I don't know anybody here. I mean. Amen. Like one preacher said, he said, that's good preaching whether you know it or not. Amen. Glory to God. God always wants to supply our spiritual needs as well as our physical. David, he had gotten food for his physical body and those few straggly soldiers of his. But David was still discouraged. David was still on the run. David was still down in the dumps. David still was a man with a bounty on his head. David was still a man that there was only a step between him and death. And God seen that his spirit was low. God seen that he was in trouble. God seen that David had a need greater than just that bread. And when David went to leave, he asked for that sword. He asked, was there a sword here? And Ahimelech said, yeah, there's a sword here. He said, the one that you took off of Goliath and finished the job down in the valley of Elah. David didn't even know where that sword was. If he'd known where that sword was, he wouldn't have asked Ahimelech, was there a sword there?
After that he had defeated Goliath, that sword and shield and all got put into a tent, and David on his road to glory playing the harp for Saul and in the inner circle of the upper echelon in the kingdom, he had lost track of that weapon that God had used in his hand. But now he's in trouble. Now the dark clouds of despair and adversity is storming over. And Ahimelech said, yeah, there's a sword here. And when he pulled that sword out and he handed it to David, David remembered that God had given him the victory down in the valley of Elah. Hallelujah to God. Just like this pulpit here, when Ahimelech came and David that sword, God used that sword for a pulpit. And God started preaching to that little shepherd boy. And God reminded him, David, there is a cause. David, I did anoint you more than the oil out of the horn of Samuel ran down your head. The holy anointing. You're my man, David. And if I kept you from the lion, and I kept you from the bear, and I kept you from Goliath, and I fought you about, I hadn't left you yet, David. It's not over. Pick your head up, boy. I'm on your side. That's what David did. When he had a need, glory to God. Woo! Man, I feel like shouting in here now. That's what David did. He got encouraged in the house of the Lord. Glory to God. Woo! Ahimelech gave him bread, but God's giving him heavenly manna now. God's charging that battery. God's saying, boy, I'm going to take you all the way to the palace. I'm not done with you yet. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Yeah. There ain't no sword like this sword. It wasn't that sword was made out of a superior steel. That sword was so big, David couldn't use it effectively, efficiently in battle. That's a huge sword. But that sword reminded David of a sling and a stone. And a God that hung the stars and the moon. My Allah, my. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. If you're in this place tonight, you've done the right thing by coming to the house of the Lord. We need to make our requests known unto God and lean back on His mercies. He'll satisfy our needs and our longings. But God wants to help you spiritually tonight. God wants to speak to you and remind you. He's not through with you yet. There's still a cause in your life. I remember when Joseph, he'd gone through the pit. He'd gone through Potiphar's house. He'd gone through the prison house. He hadn't made it to the palace yet. He'd went through a lot of turmoil and discouragements, and it seemed like God had left him. And Joseph had a son. And he named him Manasseh. In other words, the meaning of that, the scripture says that Joseph said, the Lord hath caused me to forget. But Joseph, God's not going to let you forget. He's not going to let you because He brought you here to preserve your brothers. And when Joseph said, God made me, then God reminded him when he stood before him. And the Bible said, and Joseph remembered the dream. God put that sword in his hand and said, Joseph, I sent you through the pit for a purpose. I sent you through Potiphar's house for a purpose. I sent you through the prison for a purpose. I was going to take you to the palace. God's not through with you yet. God wants to help you. Hallelujah. Ooh. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That little shepherd boy, his heart pounded. has been excommunicated from his family, from his home, from his people. He stands there in that temple, heart fluttering. God begins to whisper in the ear of David, "I'm not through with you yet, boy. If I preserved you from Goliath, who is Saul? I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you." And that day, David walked out of the house of God with bread for his physical body, that sword in his hand, speaking to him. David went in with his head bowed low, but he walked out with a sparkle in his eyes, reminded, if God took care of me with the bear and the lion and Goliath, God's going to take care of me. Saul's not going to take a, he's not going to give me death. God's going to fight this battle for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You ever thought about that? Sword of Goliath. That thing was built in a Philistine blacksmith shop. That thing was constructed to kill Jews and the enemy. Now David's holding that thing in his hands. David's reminded God to take that trial, make it a blessing. Some of you walked in this place tonight and the devil said you won't ever see the sunshine again. But God will take this trial. He'll make it a blessing. Hallelujah. If you're just willing to let God help you. Hallelujah. Woo! I want us to stand tonight. Glory to God.